Well, forget salties, brown snakes and funnel web spiders. Could Australia's deadliest fauna be, in fact, the cockatoo?
They will bite any tail. I've seen them bite tails of little joeys and big kangaroos. Whoever's kind of in their way, they have no fear.
You're a nasty bird.
Yes, well, we've all seen the evidence. Cockatoos will bite. They will bite a kangaroo's tail to get their food. You might have seen that very naughty cocky who was caught on video earlier this week dropping pot plants from an apartment building in Melbourne's Flinders Lane. I mean, that's almost attempted murder in my book. We should arrest the cockies. To help us understand cockatoo psychology and all the other cute and, well, frankly, not so cute things birds get up to, I'm joined by, well, RN's favourite bird whisperer, wildlife ecologist Dr. Gráinne Cleary. Welcome to you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I have so much to say on this subject because I've watched the video a few times. First of all, yes, it was dangerous and it could have hurt someone who was walking underneath. Okay, I've said it. Now, the cockatoo looked so pleased with himself. Did you see the grin on his face? If you haven't watched it, have a look at it. So what's going on here is you have a bird that is as intelligent, if not more so, than a chimpanzee. And it's waiting to be fed. So it's waiting on the balcony, it's waiting to be fed, and it looks around its environment and it sees these potted plants. And it has a little tug. And it has a little tug some more and actually, you know, it can lift it up. And that's quite heavy in my beak. Oh, and look, it can swing it. And then it looks down like a chimpanzee, you know, or a small child. You know, oh, what would happen if I throw it over the edge? And that's what it does. We're dealing with very curious, very intelligent birds that explore their environment. And it's one of the reasons why they are so successful in urban areas, such as that very urban area of Flinders Lane.
You said like a small child, and it really does ring true that a cockatoo is just like a little toddler being a jerk.
Oh, well, see, I hate the word jerk because it's not. It's learning about its environment. It's learning, if I pick this up and I do this, this is what happens. Oh, okay. You know, you got to think about it from the bird's point of view. Now, as some of your listeners might know, I live with two galahs and my galahs love nothing more than when I'm steaming my milk in the morning to take that lid off the steamer, bring it over to the side of the breakfast table and chuck it over the side just to hear that sound. They do it for the response as well, that they know will make a big clang. And isn't that great? You know, this is what comes. You're living in the land of birds. You know, us primates, us mammals, you know, we came from this country of birds and we've got to respect them.
Apparently, according to your, the ABC article that said these birds, they normally get up to mischief at this time of year. So is this bad behaviour or whatever you want to call it, curiosity or exploring their environment? Is it seasonal?
It's this time of the year because mom and dad are concentrating on the young that have just come out of the hollow. So you have this juvenile period, almost teenage years, if you want, where the bird is too young to be at home. Mom and dad are concentrating on the babies of this year. But yet they're all, so they're too old to stay at home, but they're also too young to start breeding. These guys have a long teenage childhood period where they don't start breeding until they're about 7 years old. So in the meantime, what are they going to do? They form little gangs. None of them are ready to breed. So they're hanging out as friends and hanging out as friends. You know, they do get up to mischief. But again, you're in Australia. This is the great thing about this country is we have these fantastic cockatoos that nobody else has, displaying this fantastic behaviour, you know, and being that inquisitive and surviving in this very urban area that is, you know, that is Australia. So I for one think it's brilliant.
In fact, the city of Melbourne is encouraging residents to remove the pot plants and other sources of food from balconies. Yeah. Cockatoos in the area have been mainly seen dropping plants, but also socks. So nothing seems to be safe from these teenage gang of marauders. Is there anything else we should be keeping away from them? I know that they are pretty partial to a bit of black plastic from your solar heater on your roof.
Oh, yeah. And again, these are, see, the thing is, we take away their environment. We cut down their trees to put in a light rail, or we cut down their trees. The thing is, you've got to think about, well, what happens to the birds that actually live in that tree? They're going to turn up on your balcony. They're like, hello, you took away my habitat. You're not getting rid of me. I've been evolving in this country for like millions of years. Hello. And I'll be here long after you're gone, probably. And the thing is that we've got to learn to live with them. So things like, yes, there was feeding involved. But then I hate to say don't feed, because it's such an urban area that it's often our only connection with native wildlife. And that in itself is very important. So I think it's that arms race where we have to, again, outsmart these cockatoos. They're tormenting us in Sydney by doing the bin opening and taking the rubbish out. And now in Melbourne, they're dropping the plants. So we need to find a way to secure these plants more. That is cockatoo proof, and that will work a lot better.
Everyone likes to say this bird is the smartest, parrots are the smartest, you've got cockatoos are the smartest. What is the definitive way to measure a bird's intelligence?
So that's a great question. And part of it is, you know, you don't measure a goldfish's intelligence by getting it to climb a tree. So you've got to make it specific for that bird. So one way of doing it is that the bird understands if it does one thing, something else is going to happen. So one way we look at their intelligence is by putting food at the end of a bit of twine or a bit of rope. And the bird has to pull the twine towards it to get at the food. So in the bird's head, the bird knows, yes, there's food there, but to get at that food, I need to do this action. And therefore, if I do this action, I'll get this food. That in itself is very intelligent. If you think of your 3-year-old or your 2-year-old, you know, can it do that? The other one is self-awareness, self-recognition. So we would put like a little sticker, let's say a red sticker on the breast of a magpie or on the breast of a cockatoo, and then put it in front of a mirror. Now, if it looks in the mirror and it sees the red sticker that's way out of place on its plumage, it should touch itself to take the sticker off. Or will it touch the mirror and think that it's just another individual? So these are the kind of experiments us scientists run to find out how smart they are. And looking from the citizen science data, such as this great example, shows how inquisitive they are. So it's a really good example of these fantastic birds.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, if you just tuned in, RN wildlife ecologist Dr. Gráinne Cleary is here. We're talking about birds behaving badly. She thinks that they're certainly just doing the whatever comes naturally. I think they might have to be sent an infringement notice or appear in a local court for dropping pot plants on people's heads in Melbourne. Let me come back to this kind of philosophical idea about play, because certainly cockatoos are very playful. You see them playing and swinging on power lines, for example. Is it the same in humans, where play is this idea where it's learning, it's cognitive development, or is it something more social with cockatoos?
So if we bring this back, so we'll look at cockatoos, but also a lot of your listeners will be familiar with magpies playing. Magpies even playing with their dogs. So it's where two individuals decide to engage in a game, but without the intention of hurting the other individual. So there is a lot of eye contact between the two birds. The two birds will check in with each other saying, this is great fun, we're having a play, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay, I'm enjoying this play. And they will, and it allows them to explore their environment in a safe way and tackle things such as if there was a snake. You know, what would I do if there was a snake? I would get it in my claws and, you know, you'll see them turn up onto their back where they're actually on their back with their legs in the air, you know, playing with a bit of wood or something. And that's all getting used to the feeling and getting used to, you know, what they can grip. And that sensation, very much again like children and like cockatoos, magpies can have this long prolonged childhood where they're just exploring their environment and they're learning from their parents how to hunt for food. So a lot of that is taught, especially in magpies. If you watch magpies at this time of the year, you'll see the babies watching mum, and mum will walk along the ground, or dad, and she'll be listening. He'll be listening to the invertebrates underneath the soil. And once they can hear the invertebrate chewing, they'll dart a beak straight down, grasp the, you know, the worm or the larvae and bring it back up. So the young has to learn to associate the sound of gnawing from listening to food. So there is this period of where the young is required to be curious just to learn how to survive. And this is another reason why to love Australia. Our birds are just so bloody brilliant. You don't get this in Europe. You don't get this where I grew up, I tell you that.
I love your passion. Dr. Grenier Cleary is a wildlife ecologist and bird expert. It's been a pleasure to have you back on RN Drive. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Look, have a great day and keep watching those birds.
You're with Andy Park and this is RN Drive.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.